The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, 602-508-0960. There's a lot in the news we're covering and tracking today, and some in the culture, too, and some at the bloody crossroads where they intersect. You seeing what the NBA and China is doing with each other? Not good for the NBA. 602-508-0960. I'll tell you more about that in a moment. Ilhan Omar's filed for divorce. This is 1 month after assuring reporters she was not separated. Okay, things move fast in Minnesota. Steve is in Tempe. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Seth.
How are you?
Doing good. How are you?
I am doing fine. Thank you, sir.
Good to hear. Yeah, I just wanted to, regarding the stress with the politics, I don't really get stressed out by, but what does stress me out is the conflict factor that is constantly, seem that I guess since Trump has been elected, seems to be promoted by the other side as far as, you know, them not liking what he is, what he does, who he is, and just all of this, for lack of a better term, trumped up charges and everything else is disturbing. And what really worries me, Seth, is, you know as well as I do that this is only the beginning. This next year, starting right now, moving forward towards the election, it's going to get ramped up. And what really concerns me is Trump getting reelected and what the left's going to do when that happens.
Do you think they quiet down, or do you think and
no.
go away, or do you think they ramp up the level of frenzy and furor that they are engaged in? See, I think you're onto something big here, Steve. I have lamented for a long time on this show the continual frenzy, turmoil, and rage that they're throwing our way. Every news day brings another one, and some days brings three or four. This is the world they live in. This is the air they breathe, the water they swim in, and they try and foist it on the rest of this country, this agitation. It's not our normal state. It's not supposed to be. But it is their normal state, and it is supposed to be theirs. They're trying to foist it on the rest of us. We're not accepting it. And I don't know if by winning again or further, whether we will calm them or further excite them. I just don't know.
Seth. No question. I think it is a strategy. I think they are trying to push as much conflict and turmoil on Trump's presidency as they can, and I think with the end goal of taking, saying, look, if we get this guy out of office and put somebody normal in, quote unquote, on their side. We're going to get back to normal and things are going to progress the way they always have. I think that's a strategy on their part.
I'm sure it is. It's kind of an interesting thought, though, isn't it? A thought experiment.
Yeah.
They want us in frenzy and agitation and, having basically lost the election that they can't get over, they start by talking about the radicalism or the extremism of Donald Trump and the conservative movement. That doesn't work. They go to illegitimacy and that he only could have won through the collusion with an enemy country. That doesn't work. So they go to this extraordinary measure of impeachment. I don't know where you go after that. I mean, these are all extraordinary measures they're taking, and I don't know where they go next. It's kind of like the movie The Joker. They keep upping the stakes.
I know, and that's what really concerns me, too. And I wanted to ask regarding the movie that you had brought up before.
Yeah, The Joker, yeah.
Yeah, I don't plan to see that for a number of reasons.
Please.
I just think that's...
Please don't.
But Seth, I wanted to bring one movie to your attention. I don't know if you saw this movie a while back. It was in the early 80s. It was called Brubaker with Robert Redford.
Sure, I know the movie.
Did you ever see that?
Yeah, I know that movie, yeah.
I swear, that movie reminds me so much of Trump and what's going on, because here... Robert Redford plays a warden who goes into a corrupt prison to try to turn things around, and which he does. He gets the
he fixes the prison, right?
Yeah. Corruption and everything, and turns it around. And then all the you know, the good old boys on the outside that like things the way that they were and don't like the disruption factor and how he's changing things for the better internally, are all over him and start to target him and well, you know, I won't say the end of the movie in case somebody wants to see it, but it was, I thought it was an excellent movie, and I'll defer to you on how I just think of that movie about how what Trump is doing right now with the deep state and trying to turn things around on a political basis in Washington. I look at him as a parallel to the character that Robert Redford played in Brubaker, which is based on a true story, by the way.
Yeah, out of somewhere in the South, if I'm not mistaken. Was it Atlanta, maybe, or Georgia, or somewhere in there? Yeah, or Arkansas, I in any event. Yes, I remember that. Yeah, and it's kind of an interesting, I think I have my plays right here. You know, he brought out this phrase that the media is the enemy of the people, but the funny thing about all that is that it's that phrase, enemy of the people, that comes from an old play, and I think is it Molière? I think it is, and it was about, you know, the guy who was warning the society about no, it wasn't Molière. It was Henrik Ibsen. He was warning the society about the dangers that they were facing, and no one wanted to believe him. You know, they always go after the gadfly. That's a story as old as Socrates, isn't it? And it's really an interesting question about reform. Is reform possible in this country? Is fundamental reform possible in this country? When you're up against, you know, a hardened, calcified resistance movement that will use extraordinary measures to prevent it, whether it's street thugs, you know, on the streets in the form of groups like Antifa, or whether it's political thugs in elected office who, you know, stampede towards something like impeachment without all the regular norms or requirements, frankly, of what it takes to and what is done when one impeaches a president. These are extraordinary measures, just extraordinary. And it has the taint and it has the tinge of socialist and fascist movements of the previous century and in other countries. It's a really very un-American, non-American way to go about doing politics. And there seems to be no level of shame or, for that matter, calm, quiet, or common sense from the elected members of the Democratic Party on this. I have seen, and from time to time, cable news will trot out a Democratic pollster or consultant who will say, I disagree with what my colleagues are doing. There's a couple of them out there. Doug Schoen is one. There's another one, Henry or Hank Shinekoff, maybe. That's his name, who used to work for the Clintons. There's a couple, three or four of them, but none in elected office. That's what's interesting to me. None of the elected, I can't think of a single elected Democrat I have seen standing up and saying, you know, just slow down here. Stop. Wait a minute. I don't see them denounce Antifa. I see them choke when asked about it. And I don't see them denouncing the radical move of, or the extraordinary move, if you don't want radical, the extraordinary move of impeachment over what seems to be the least of anything wrong Donald Trump could possibly have done. Working with an allied nation to get to the bottom of either corruption or some kind of massive conflict of interest with a major American public policy leader. These are the kinds of things usually heroes are made of. These are the kinds of things that if a media character, if a reporter or a member of the press, you know, had highlighted what was going on with Joe Biden and Hunter Biden the way the president has been forced to, they would have won probably a Pulitzer Award for uncovering that kind of corruption, that kind of conflict of interest, that kind of nepotism. That's the kind of things reporters used to do and celebrate themselves over. But now it only runs in one direction. And as I say, it's interesting to me that there are no elected members of that party saying, slow down, let's be a little more sober about this. It all runs in one direction, and it's to the further radicalized left. Nancy Pelosi did not win the day of tapping the brakes on impeachment talk. She was co-opted into it and now is its greatest supporter. That's just all very interesting to me. You know, in the Republican Party, agree with them or disagree with them, there are breakings of ranks with the president. There are breakings of ranks with the House Minority Leader. There are breakings of ranks with the Senate Majority Leader. It's scary to me that you have one political party that has no breaking of ranks ever. And when they tried it with one, when one guy tried it, one, it's the only one we can think of, Joe Lieberman, the party apparatus ran someone against him to primary him. I'm Seth, 602-508-0960. We'll be right back. Quality service, great warranties, and installations done right. Those are the watchwords of Cool Touch Air Conditioning and Heating. They are a great company right now offering you a great deal, you being Patriot listeners. Right now, they can replace your air conditioning unit with a 14-SEER total comfort system at the never-before-done 25% off. They'll also throw in a Wi-Fi. A Wi-Fi smart thermostat, a free duct cleaning, 10-year parts warranty, and a 1-year maintenance warranty to prevent breakdowns. No interest payments for 12 months. Cool Touch Air Conditioning and Heating also does plumbing. They are also open 7 days a week. I am a customer of theirs. I have friends who I have recommended them to who are customers of theirs. Cool Touch Air Conditioning and Heating shares your values. They are not there to see you once. They are there to keep you as a customer for your lifetime. And they act like it. Upfront pricing, no games, no guessing. Call Cool Touch at 602-923-9600. That's 602-923-9600. Or go online and visit them on their website at cooltouch.us. And tell them I sent you. Doug is in Maricopa. Hello, Doug.
How the heck are you, Seth?
I'm doing just fine. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. I'm not sure what direction you want to go, but
I have a question for you.
Sure.
You're an artist.
Yes, I am.
Is it okay to condemn art that just is terrible?
Yes.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I think what's happened with the left, which tends to be more in the modern art, you know, where you throw up on a canvas and a drunk monkey could do it, that tends to be more of the left. In other words, you may think it's ugly, but there was, but basically, if they tell you how wonderful it is, if it takes 3 pages explanation of why it's great art, you know it's garbage.
That's a nice point. That's a good point. Yeah, because I know a community, a big part of the community, will say, well, all criticism is subjective, and I'm here to stand by the position that I think there is a difference between Da Vinci's work and Andy Warhol's. I think the Last Supper can be distinguished from Andy Warhol's Campbell Soup. I just think you can make those distinctions as a human being.
We have been scared out of having an opinion. That's what the left does.
Good.
I'll also take it away from art and just go to music.
Okay.
If you go to a concert, we oftentimes go to the Phoenix Symphony, and if you're going to get up there and listen to Brahms' Second Symphony, no explanation, Brahms' Second, genius, all right? If all of a sudden he's up there talking for 45 seconds, I'm saying this is going to be garbage, mm-hmm. and it's modern garbage. It sounds like they're tuning up the violin.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, Brahms' Second needs no explanation. It needs to be experienced. Genius needs to be experienced. And we have been pushed back and scared into having that we should have no opinion, and then we're supposed to let the intellectual.
Yeah, we're supposed to be pseudo-sophisticated and say, oh, yeah, that's brilliant, and it isn't.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
As a matter of fact, I insist you have an opinion. We
Thank
must.
You. Good. Yeah. I appreciate mm-hmm. that. There. You answered. I should have called you.
Yeah, because, well, you got to be careful because I rarely do have an opinion, you know.
Now you can go wherever you want to go. Thanks for taking
All
my
right.
question.
All right. Well, it was going to be free-ranging from real stress to the Constitution, but and even a line from Lenin. But, you know, if the young generation has to – the difference between liberals and conservatives is we expect to disagree. We hold our founding dear. It was founded on discussion and intellectual gymnastics. It was founded on principle. And then the whole founding of our country was an argument of ideas back and forth. And also, but even if they don't want to go that far, part of it is the fact that our success as a culture in the country has reduced their natural stress to a very small bit of thing. So I think there is a human need for stress, so they magnify little things and do a lot of navel gazing. Let me give you a few stats. Around the early 1900s, the average life expectancy was 45 years of age.
Okay.
Most women never had menopause because they never lived long enough to have menopause.
Oh, wow. That never occurred to me. Okay. Okay.
Yes. And so many of these stresses, people talk about cancer and thyroid problems and everything else, it's a blessing. It's not a curse because we're living long enough to be have that curse, because about 120 years ago, you didn't live long enough to die of cancer.
Interesting.
You died 25 years before that would ever be a problem.
Interesting.
And there were years in the 1800s where 50% of the kids under 2 died.
Yeah.
It,
sure.
Because every summer there was plague. Think about this. We have a tradition now where the wealthy goes out, where they go out to the Hamptons, they go out to the rich. That actually started hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago because the city became a plague infestation every summer. So the wealthy got away.
I didn't know that.
Now, yeah, that's why it got started.
Huh.
Death every summer, every time it got warm. My father, born 1909, 12 kids in his family. He had to see 3 of them die.
Wow.
Under 3.
And that would
Life
have been almost
hard.
The norm. Okay. Okay.
And so we don't know struggle, and we don't know real struggle.
That's really interesting.
And one of the things Dad brought up, it was that oftentimes the hardest point for farmers and people in the country was not in the wintertime. They had plenty of stores of food. It was actually in the early summer when things were growing and looking good. But the problem was you don't have a harvest in the early summer. That's when you're planting.
Uh-huh,
and
uh-huh,
it's also uh-huh. 3 months past your stores. So your stores are down and you're hungry and you don't yet have food. It was hard. It was very hard. And when you listen to what earlier generations struggled through, and my father, you know, died 10 years ago at 100, and what he saw for real struggle, we had nothing to be complained about. I look at all of this turmoil as a wonderful opportunity, but we must beware because if things were happy, that means things would go along the way they were.
Yeah.
You cannot change without discontent, whether it's the civil rights movement, our revolution, or anything else. Yeah, Hitler got very upset when someone said no to capitulation. And
yeah.
You know, so I don't see it as a bad thing.
Okay.
But the left views everything that disagrees with them as a moral violation. It's not a disagreement. It's a moral violation.
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, it's not a difference of opinion. It's a difference of massive
right.
major principle.
Yeah. And I tell you, Frederick Douglass has a line. Oh, I'm sorry. I hear the music.
No, it's all right. You can give me Frederick Douglass.
Frederick Douglass said that basically slavery was the biggest lie. It was so big that the South had to literally renegotiate all social contracts, and that meant they had to move away from the founding.
Yeah.
And this is what the left has done
sure.
with their big lie of socialism and communism as being good. It is such a big lie. You have to destroy everything and all social norms within the society and move a different direction.
Nicely done, Doug. Very nicely done. Thank you, sir. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. I'll tell a funny story on my producer in a moment. But first, Dave is in Surprise. Hi, Dave.
Good afternoon, Seth. Appreciate you taking the call.
You bet.
Yeah, the developments of the weekend scare me. I'm really anxious about the control the elite seem to have over this government and wanting to hand-tie Trump with all the defectors in the IC. It scares me. I caught a news story over the weekend that one of the authors of the Green New Deal, Senator Markey from Massachusetts, I guess he's directly tied to the Ukrainian oil and energy production, fuel production in the Ukraine. He's got people funding his campaign going back to 2014. Have you heard anything about that by chance?
No. The story I saw, this is the senator. But I'll take a look at it, Dave. The story I saw about Senator Markey is that he is being challenged in a primary by one of the Kennedys. By Congressman. Is his name Joe? It's the redheaded guy, right?
Yeah, I think he's Joe number three.
That's right. I think you're right about that. And it's kind of an interesting thing because AOC, as I read it right, is supporting Markey. And the person she defeated is supporting Kennedy, and it's kind of got a division of the Democrats going on over there in the Northeast. But that's only a domestic issue and political intrigue. So I don't know the Ukrainian connection, but I do suspect that the more digging that goes on here, that we're going to find more and more connections between Clinton Foundation types and Democratic Party player types and the Ukraine. I have no doubt that we're going to find more and more of that.
Yeah, and I just think it's one of those delicious hypocrisies where Markey, who stands up there with AOC and says we want to eliminate fossil fuels, yet was one of the biggest backers for subsidies for Ukraine.
Yeah.
To exploit their oil production.
That I do know about, and that you're absolutely right about, Dave. It's exactly right. It's fossil fuels for thee, but not for me. I get it, because they can profit off it. You bet.
Another form of delicious projection by the Democrats.
No, it absolutely is. I mean, this projection thing, I read that column earlier about projection from Miranda Devine. I think she's absolutely right about this. I think they are suffering from severe political projection. And, you know, it's just sort of odd to me. I suppose I should get over the romanticism of this, and I suppose I should fully adopt and accept where we are. But it's just odd to me that there is no one in the media that wants to go and be the next Woodward and Bernstein except against Republicans. There's no one in the media that is, you know, in the mainstream media, I should say, that is digging into this stuff. You know, they're not digging into Ilhan Omar. They're not digging into Ukrainian connections to the Democrats. They seem to not give two hoots about Hunter Biden. They want to shut down any conversation about it. It's a really odd thing for whether it's the Washington Post organization or whether they're speaking for the whole industry. It's a really odd interpretation of democracy dies in darkness. They just believe in their own darkness.
Yeah. In my humble opinion, it's because Trump is the great disruptor. And he's basically canceled the White House press corps dinner. And that was an opportunity for them to all smooth and be elite and pat each other on the back. And he said, I'm not going to play your game. I've come here to clean up the swamp, to drain it. And the IC community and the press and the Democratic Party, and I'm sure there's Republicans in it as well, they all need to be washed out in the sea. It just needs to be done.
Yeah, there was an interesting thing that went on with the mainstream media and the Republicans of yore. They would go to those dinners. I hated that they did. I hated that they would go there just to have their shins kicked in front of the public when, you know, they get their shins kicked every day by the media. They go and pretend to be friends for about an hour, and then the joke is always on the Republicans. It always made them look bad. And Republicans, you know, as much as we loved so many of our leaders of the past, they did believe, by and large, and acted as if the media was in charge. And I think this media understands what Trump understands, which is he's not afraid of them. And I think that's what bothers them more than anything else. I mean, I have never seen a president take as many questions and just talk to them for as long as he does, 2-3 times a day. It's, you know why he does it? And others haven't? He's not afraid of them. He's just not. And I think that irks them to no end. He has shown them that they're not in charge.
Yeah, quite a contrast with Biden because he hides from microphones.
Well, Biden, prime that audio of Biden for me. When we come back, we'll show you how Biden deals with the tough issues. Also, Elizabeth Warren caught in another lie. 602-508-0960. Be right back. I got a bunch of requests to say what I said in the first hour about the movie I saw last night, The Joker. I said that I did see it last night, and I never want to hear another Hollywood actor or producer lecture America again about the culture of violence in America from any quarter. It was the most morally corrupt tribute to senseless and psychotic violence I have ever seen or that I could ever imagine. It's raking in the dough. It took in $100 million as of today, and it was only released 3 days ago. By the way, it took $50 million to make. It is, as one reporter wrote, pure anarchy, but with psychosis, clowns, civilians, violence, and more psychosis and more violence. I like a good thriller as much as the next guy, but I honestly had this thought. If an American walked out of, say, North by Northwest and then went to see this movie, he'd truly wonder not only what happened to America, but could both movies have even been made in America? As I kind of have to wonder, too, so much money, so much talent, so much hype, to what end? To what purpose? Why, remind me, please, did we ban bear baiting and dog fighting and cock fighting in America? Because we believed how we entertain ourselves matters. And pure bloodlust is simply not healthy or a sign of anything good for a citizen. In fact, I think it's a major and serious sign of rot that anyone would defend this film based on how great the acting was. Man, was Joaquin Phoenix amazing, you will see people write or say. But amazing for what? And how do we know he was amazing? Because he kept us in our chairs for 2 hours? Laughing and cackling and killing people and scaring people and drifting in and out of psychotic breaks as he did? How do we know he was amazing at all? I don't know what it takes to play a psychotic, but I've seen a lot interviewed, real ones, on television. Some violent, some not. I've known a few. And they range the range of emotions from the sedate to the hyperactive. Maybe he didn't play a psychotic well. Maybe he just played someone's idea of a violent psychotic well. But may I conclude with a thought Irving Kristol made some years ago? No society can be utterly indifferent to the way its citizens publicly entertain themselves. As I said, bear baiting and cockfighting are prohibited only in part out of compassion for the suffering animals. The main reason they were abolished here was because it was felt that they debased and brutalized the citizenry who flocked to be entertained by and to witness such spectacles. We are, after all, not dealing with one passing incident, one book, or one play, or one movie. We're dealing with a general tendency that is suffusing our entire culture when it celebrates and gives money to this sort of thing. And the tendency is debasement for debasement's sake, all in the name of saying it is art and good acting. And it's neither. I'm not asking for censorship. I'm not asking for us to be blue-nosed. I'm asking us to be human beings and to realize this eternal truth also from Irving Kristol. If you believe that no one was ever corrupted by a movie, you also have to believe that no one was ever improved by a movie. You have to believe, in other words, that all art is morally trivial and that consequently all education is morally irrelevant. No one, not even a university professor, really believes that. The ways in which we use our minds and imaginations do shape our characters, and they do help define us as persons. The Joker movie is Well, for anyone in Hollywood that wants to tell me that Donald Trump is vulgar, go look at this movie and tell me you think you have the first notion of what vulgar means. Oh, but they'll defend themselves. And keep in mind, the movie is meant to, above all, entertain. Please don't give it your time or your dollar. Please don't. I'm begging of you. You will be the worse for it. That's one part of the culture. The other part of the culture, big part of the culture in America, of course, is sports. I give you Michael Brendan Doherty over at National Review. On Friday, Daryl Morey, the GM of the NBA Houston Rockets, tweeted an image that said on Instagram, quote, "Fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong," close quote. Within a few hours, it had been deleted. The damage had been done. Several behemoth Chinese corporations and state institutions announced that they were suspending business with the Houston Rockets. Tencent, the NBA's largest partner outside the U.S., has a lucrative contract to broadcast NBA games. It will no longer broadcast the Rockets because of Morey's tweet. The Rockets are one of the most popular franchises in China, it turns out, for the obvious reason that Yao Ming made his career there. He heads the Chinese Basketball Association, which also cut ties with the Rockets. By the end of the weekend, the entire NBA was in damage control mode, profusely and absurdly abasing themselves. The NBA stated that Morey's statement was, quote-unquote, regrettable. And in a statement in Chinese, they further elaborated on their, quote, disappointment in him. The Rockets have considered firing Morey anyway. League Commissioner Adam Silver has tried to officially stand behind the league's own freedom of expression policy. He said, quote, "I think as a values-based organization that I want to make it clear that Daryl Morey is supported in terms of his ability to exercise his freedom of expression." Players were dragooned into the controversy. Quote, "We apologize. You know, we love China. We love playing there," said James Harden. "For both of us individually, we go there once or twice a year. They show us the most important love." The first thing to say about this is that the NBA's utterly craven reaction starkly contrasted with their boldness in pulling an all-star game from Charlotte, North Carolina over transgender issues. NBA players were similarly dragooned into that controversy. Stephen Curry said, "I recognize this was a tough decision for the NBA, but I respect the choice. Discrimination of any kind can't be allowed." Carmelo Anthony said, "Believe it or not, we're always put in tough situations. Some things you can talk about, some things you can't. I think the NBA has to decide where that line is and when to cross it." It's the same hypocrisy of Apple's Tim Cook, who also threatens boycotts and blockades of states that allow religious freedom, while saying nothing about religious freedom in China. But it's really even worse than that. The NBA runs a training program right in the heart of China's Xinjiang province, where Muslims are being sent en masse into education, re-education camps. The China Daily editorialized this, quote, "Let's hope the incident with Morey and the Houston Rockets will teach other companies a lesson. The big Chinese market is open to the world, but those who challenge China's core interest and hurt Chinese people's feelings cannot make any profit from it." In America, you can buy a Volkswagen and criticize Angela Merkel. You can turn around and sell financial products back to German buyers who hate President Donald Trump. But free trade with China has certain conditions attached. And the conditions have an insidious effect. They are layers of self-censorship and self-abasement that extend into America. The NBA doesn't just abase itself in order to keep its access to Chinese lucrative markets. The reporters who cover the NBA are afraid to criticize the league and its president. ESPN reporter Adrian Wojnarowski, who followed the controversy over the 2017 All-Star Game in Charlotte, has been studiously silent on this. ESPN, his Disney-owned parent company, which editorialized extensively in favor of the NBA's anti-North Carolina protest, is running only the most pro forma news coverage of the controversy. Most of what is called political correctness in America is not actually enforced by the government directly. It's instead enforced by corporations who design their workplace education policies and increasingly their hiring guidance based on the fear of litigation risk. They're cowards, all of them, all of them. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. Our final segment, Michael in Phoenix gets the last word of the day. Michael, how are you, man?
I'm good, Seth. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I happened to see the Joker this afternoon.
Oh, okay.
And don't waste your money.
Yeah. Right?
Right, yeah.
Have you ever seen anything more disgustingly, graphically, morally degenerate than that? Ever?
I'm sorry I went and saw it. I think I'm stupider today for seeing it.
Yeah. I think we're all more debased for having seen it. That's my main message. Anyone who's intrigued by this quote-unquote great acting, baloney. It's not great acting. It's not great anything. It's great.
You know, I think Joaquin Phoenix has been great in many movies, but this one, no, I don't, you know.
Yeah, no, it's a study in grotesque degeneracy. That the reason I'm spending time on it today is I want the least amount of people to see it as possible. And to the degree that anyone ever takes recommendations here seriously or not, I just want you to know, disgusting, don't do it. Take my word for it. Don't do it. You will be more debased for having gone to that movie than before you walk in. And it's a shame on Hollywood for having even produced it. And it is disgusting to me that anyone in Hollywood can promote either objective neutrality about art for art's sake in regard to it, or be involved in defending that movie as anything other than degeneracy while they talk about the degeneracy and vulgarity of our politics. They have written themselves out of responsible ability to rhetoricize about the vulgarity of our politics to the degree that they defend this piece of crud. And I wish I could use a stronger word. But, you know, it's the end of the show and I need to be uplifting. So I will be, because it is still a great country and a great afternoon. So God bless you, Michael, and every one of you. And until tomorrow, class is dismissed.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.